A new exhibit in the nation's capital honors a legendary Wisconsin artist, Ho-Chunk sculptor Truman Lowe.
I want to create enough interest in water through my work that others will begin to share the same beauty and the same understanding that I have of moving water.
That's Lowe speaking in a short film documentary about his work.
Lowe, who passed away in 2019, left a strong mark on the Wisconsin art scene. In 2022, UW La Crosse named their art building after Lowe, and his artwork can be viewed around the state in museums, in outdoor installations like his effigy bird form sculpture near an indigenous mound site in Madison.
Now, the National Museum of the American Indian is honoring Lowe's work with a retrospective called Water's Edge, The Art of Truman Lowe. It's on display at the museum in Washington, D.C. until January 2027.
Joe Ortel is Professor Emerita of Art History at Beloit College and author of the book Woodland Reflections, The Art of Truman Lowe. And Rebecca Troutman is Assistant Curator of Contemporary Art at the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Joe, thanks for being with us.
Sure, no problem.
Now, Joe, Truman Lowe, a big name in the art world, especially here in Wisconsin. We've got the Lowe Center for the Arts named after him at UW La Crosse, a major sculpture of his on the UW-Madison campus. What can you tell us about Lowe's career here in Wisconsin?
Well, let's see. Where do I
start? So much, yeah.
Exactly. He started out, he grew up in Black River Falls, outside Black River Falls at the Indian Mission. And then he went to UW La Crosse and graduated after several years. I mean, it took him a little while to finish. But then from there, he went to Valders, Wisconsin, to teach high school art. And then he came here to Madison to get his MFA. And from there, then he went briefly to Kansas to teach and then came back and was pretty much here for the rest of his life, living in Madison, with the exception of 8 years that he spent in Washington, D.C. with Rebecca.
And Rebecca, let's go to Washington now. Lowe had a national reputation, worked as a curator there at the National Museum of the American Indian. What kind of significance does his work have in the broader world of Native arts and, I guess, art period?
You know, he's a really significant figure in contemporary Native American art. I actually had studied his work in graduate school and saw him speak as a guest speaker at the University of New Mexico before coming to work with him at the National Museum of the American Indian. And he just brought such a thoughtful approach to curating, to building the collection of contemporary art here at the museum, and to building the exhibition program for contemporary art as well.
Joe, we just heard that clip from the documentary about Truman Lowe, and I saw you react when you heard his voice. Talk about him as a person a little bit before we dig into the art.
Oh, he was so tranquil, just like that voice sounded. He had a very gentle kind of personality, and he was also incredibly generous. So I think that all sort of comes through when you listen to his voice. It's just kind of that peaceful, tranquil kind of approach.
And Rebecca, in that moment from the documentary, he's talking about water, and this Smithsonian exhibit is called Water's Edge. What is it that fascinated him about water, and how does he express that through his art?
Sure. So he grew up along the Black River in Wisconsin, near Black River Falls, spent a lot of time along the river and along its tributary streams, you know, growing up with his family, and really developed this lifelong fascination with moving water, and specifically rivers, streams, waterfalls, not so much lakes and ponds, but was really interested in the movement of the water, the energy, the changing surface reflections. And you really see that in both his sculptures, where he really transformed solid wood into this fluid, sometimes turbulent, sometimes placid water, as well as in his pastel and charcoal drawings.
And not just the water, but other landscapes in Wisconsin, including woodlands, Joe. Can you talk a little more about how he connected with this landscape and, again, showed that in his art?
Well, he really felt that was the Ho-Chunk. That was his heritage, that as a woodland Indian, that was very central to who he was. And he spent a lot of time walking the woods out at the mission outside of Black River Falls with his father and, as Rebecca said, playing and fishing and that sort of thing. So he was really embedded in this landscape, I think.
And Joe, before we move on from the kind of art he did, you are interested in his pastels as well, not just this the wood and the water.
Yes. Well, I'm interested in all of it. I think it's all got an incredible aesthetic. But the drawings in particular, they haven't been seen as much, but the pastels, they're just exquisite. His sense of color. He often talked about his mother having a really great talent with color in her splint plait basketry. But his was equally with pastels. It was just an amazing kind of range that he had.
A while back on the show, we talked to Cloris Lowe, a Ho-Chunk artist and educator with a studio in central Wisconsin, great nephew of Truman Lowe. Here's a listen to someone he had to say.
Truman Wanahita, he's my grandfather's brother. I always knew him as Uncle True. He has always been a big proponent of contemporary artwork, contemporary Native artwork being shown, and to have his work now be out at the Smithsonian is just an incredible thing. And he was still supposed to be around when this was happening. He just happens to have left a little bit before the show went up.
The voice of Cloris Lowe there. Now, Truman Lowe passed away in 2019. Rebecca, Truman had worked there, as we mentioned, at the Smithsonian as a curator. How much influence does he have or has he had on how his work now is being displayed there at the museum?
You know, I worked with Truman for several years here at the museum, and I really had hoped to be able to work directly with him on this exhibition. Sadly, as Cloris said, he did pass away before we got to that point. But I'm so grateful I was able to have conversations with him about the exhibition and about the about better understanding his thinking behind his work, how he wanted it to be shown, and how he thought about his materials, how he wanted it to be cared for over time. So that did really inform the way that we show his work here.
Joe, how significant is it for this Wisconsin artist to have this really central exhibit in Washington, D.C. at the Museum of the American Indian?
It's magnificent. It really is kind of stunning, and it's all due to Rebecca, honestly. She's really done a beautiful job putting it all together. But he was, during his lifetime, he was very active in sort of raising awareness of Native arts of the upper Midwest. And so it's really nice that it's sort of now coming back to him, and he's gaining the recognition from the nation, basically.
We're talking about a retrospective of Ho-Chunk sculptor Truman Lowe on display at the Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. We have Joe Ortel, art historian and professor emerita from Beloit College, and Rebecca Troutman from the Smithsonian, who curated that exhibit. Rebecca, could you paint us a picture? Walk us through the exhibit. What are we seeing?
Sure. So the exhibition includes 48 of Truman's artworks, including 28 from our own collection and loans from other of significant works from other collections. It's organized thematically around four key and intersecting themes that he returned to again and again throughout his career. Moving water is one of the primary themes, also landscape and place and human relationships to that place. Woodland structures, he was really interested in the structures of dwellings as well as canoes, and then memory and shared knowledge, so the ways that that important knowledge is kind of encoded and preserved and then passed on.
I want to talk about some of the specific pieces. There are some images on the museum's website from the exhibit. I'm looking at one right now. It's called Ottawa, and it really seems like at a central place here, a big installation with this almost stepwise structure with these viney or tree materials cascading down. Joe, can you talk a little bit about this piece?
Sure, yeah. Those are strips of pine that are 8 feet long or 10 feet long, and he's just sort of attached them at one end to that triangular wedge-shaped structure. And so it's meant to evoke Ottawa, the River Ottawa in Ottawa City. It was made for a 1992 exhibit called Land Spirit Power, which was about Native Nations artists. And so I think it really captures both that idea of water made from wood, first of all, and then also that idea of place that Rebecca was just talking about. He visited Ottawa and he saw that river and that gushing water and really was responded to it.
And Rebecca, I've read interviews, I think, with both of you where you mention that Lowe had a gift for making wood look like water. And looking at this piece, I hope people look at it online, it's like a waterfall, a cascade made out of wood. Is this is a common theme in Lowe's work?
It is. And he really had this incredible ability to be able to transform solid wood into, you know, fluid water. It's really, really amazing. As Joe mentioned, so this is made with these thin strips of wood that kind of recall the strips of wood that his parents used in making baskets. And so he had an understanding of the kind of fluidity, the flexibility, but also the strength of wood when it was cut into these thin strips. And he was able to use it to really suggest the, you know, these turbulent, dramatic waterfalls.
Rebecca, I want to look at some of the other works in the exhibit. There's a sculptural work called Feather Canoe, some pastel paintings, multimedia works with feathers and glass beads. What are some of the through threads of Lowe's style that we see and experience as we go through the exhibit?
So one of the key things that I think you see is the materials he worked with. So when he was younger, he experimented with, you know, plastics, resins, different kinds of synthetic materials. But after graduate school, he made a conscious decision to return to the natural materials that he'd been surrounded by growing up, particularly woods, especially willow, but also feathers, strips of leather sometimes used to fasten works together, stones. And so the work Feather Canoe is really significant. He was very interested in the form of the canoe. He talked about it as this kind of ideal architectural form, perfectly suited for the waters that it was meant to travel, and how little it's changed since it was first created. And so the Feather Canoe in particular, it's just made with these peeled willow saplings fastened together with strips of leather, or actually in this case, pieces of copper, and then there are white feathers suspended within the canoe so that it really gives it a sense of floating, the sense of just, you know, flying along the water.
And Joe, since you've retired from teaching at Beloit College, I understand you're kind of an evangelist almost, spreading Lowe's work around the country. What does that look like? Where has that taken you?
We started during COVID and shortly after Truman passed away. And I was really interested in making sure that public museums across the country were aware of his work. And if they were interested in buying the work, that they would have a chance to, because we know that Truman would have wanted his work to be seen by a wide audience rather than just be in private collections.
I got to say, Rebecca, growing up X number of years ago, I think if I was at a museum and I saw something by Native American artists, it was an artifact, it was ascribed to a tribe or maybe a region or something like that. How important is it that we're seeing not just that, but artists, right? A name, a creative personality behind that art?
It's so important, both for the creators to be identified and also just to help people recognize that Indigenous people, Native American people are, you know, contemporary living people working as artists, working as educators, as curators, you know, in so many other capacities, and that these are, you know, living, vibrant, thriving cultures.
And in addition, it's not just that artists are working in one tradition, like making beadwork or doing craft work. There's a whole range of possibilities, and Native artists are doing all of it, really.
And Rebecca, I'm wondering, you know, we've got this exhibit with lots of this material. What happens to all of this material when the exhibit is over? Is it going to be going back to regional places where we could see it around the country?
So there are a couple things I can say to that. So much of the work, as I said, is in our collection, so it will be here. We'll be able to continue to exhibit it. But there will be an announcement coming soon about the exhibition traveling back to Wisconsin, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, and Joe, our producer told me you are interested in hearing from people who have a Lowe work in their home. Give a shout out. What do you want to know?
I would love to know people. I know he donated artworks to the public TV auctions every year, and I would love to be in touch with people who got some of those pieces or who just had pieces of his in general. I'm very excited to find out what's here in town and in the area.
We'll leave it there. Jill, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Rebecca, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
That's Rebecca Troutman, Assistant Curator of Contemporary Art at the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C., and Joe Ortel, Professor Emeritus of Art History at Beloit College and author of the book Woodland Reflections, The Art of Truman Lowe. We've been talking about Ho-Chunk artist Truman Lowe from the Black River Falls area. An exhibition of his work is on display at the National Museum of the American Indian. It runs through January of next year.